It came as a result of the position of leadership which was imposed upon us by the God of heaven, who brought forth a restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the declaration was made concerning the only true and living church upon the face of the earth, we were immediately put in a position of loneliness, the loneliness of leadership, from which we cannot shrink nor run away, and to which we must face up with boldness and courage and ability.
Hello to my Leading LDS family. This is Kurt Frankum, the host of the Leading LDS podcast. I welcome you back to a new episode, an episode that's quite unique from any other episode I've done. I'm very excited about it. And this will be extra special to you Boy Scouts out there, especially Eagle Scouts, that appreciate somebody who's willing to earn all 138 merit badges. In this episode, I interview Greg Mimmett, who has actually done just that. He is accompanied by his father, Lester, on this interview. They are live out in Draper, Utah. He set a goal back when he was 11 to earn 138 merit badges. That's all the merit badges that the Scouts offer. So I talked to him about that process, that feat that he accomplished, and some leadership principles. He talked about that, what he learned going forward, and what he would like to become as a leader. I really wanted to point this podcast towards helping youth leaders, kind of get his perspective on how they helped Greg earn such an accomplishment. So here is Greg and Lester Mimmett. Welcome back to the Leading LDS Podcast. My name is Kurt Frankum, and I have the opportunity to be the host of this podcast, where we bring in the most prolific leaders, whether they say they are or not. I think they are, and we sit down and interview them and learn from them. And today is a episode unlike any other I've had, where we have brought in a youth, Greg Mimmett, and his father, Lester. And Greg is world famous now for being one of the few Scouts that earned all 138 merit badges. So, Greg and Lester, how are you?
Good, thanks. Appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity to visit with you tonight.
Yeah, well, cool. Now, this is quite the feat, especially because I am an Eagle Scout, but I am the type that, now, I didn't wait till the day before my 18th birthday or anything, but that was my retirement event of scouting. My mom told me I didn't have to go on scout camps as long as I earned my Eagle, so I got to my Eagle at 15 and called it good. So, so I appreciate your example of taking on such a feat. So, Greg, tell me what inspired you to do such a feat.
Probably the main thing that inspired me is one of my neighbors when I was an 11-year-old scout did it, and that just kind of made me think, oh, that'd be kind of fun. But it didn't become a reality until after I earned my Eagle.
Oh, okay.
I was actually going to do it.
So at 11 you decided to do it, and then what age did you get your Eagle?
I got my Eagle at 14.
Okay. And now you're 17, is that right?
Yep.
And so it took those years to get all 138.
Yep. Started when I was 11, but I didn't really start earning them until I was 14. So.
Okay. And now has scouting always been a strong focus in your family, or is it just kind of the traditional, you're in the young men's program, therefore you're a scout as well?
Both. There's definitely been a strong focus, but a lot of it, especially going through my Eagle, was a lot on the ward's part and my scout leaders. But afterwards, getting the palms and the merit badges and stuff, that was all family, pretty much.
Okay.
My scout leaders did help out, but it was more pushing it on to passing them off. Yeah, passing them off and that type of thing.
Okay. So good support from your parents, I assume. Obviously, there's probably a lot of encouragement happening there.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, how does it work with after you get your Eagle? Like I said, I didn't spend too much time wondering what was after Eagle. I know there's Eagle palms. Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
Okay, and how does that work? How do you earn a palm, and how many are there?
With each palm, you have to live the Scout Oath and Law for 3 months, so you can earn 4 a year. And they go bronze, gold, silver, and then you wear the top palm out of the three. So if you had earned 4 Maribet or 4 palms, you'd wear a silver and a bronze. Other than that, there's no other achievement or award for getting more merit badges other than palms.
Okay. So, and with each palm, you said there's a certain amount of merit badges that come with it, or?
Yeah, you have to earn 5.
Okay. So you maxed out at that, and then you obviously still had some merit badges to go, so you just kept going, right?
Yep.
Okay, cool. Now, there's 138 merit badges, and I think they've added some since, my time in Scout 15 years ago. But I was just going through the list of merit badges, and some are, not surprising. Others are sort of unique. What was the hardest merit badge you earned during that process?
I'd probably say the hardest one was scuba, just because of the resources required. You had to get certified, so that involved a couple of classes, open water dives,
wow,
that type of thing. So.
Oh, cool. So that was a little more tricky to do. You just couldn't do it in your neighborhood or at church. Okay. Now, there were a few that I didn't even know were merit badges that I saw, and I assume the list I was looking at was updated, but there's a bugling merit badge, is that right?
Yep.
So what do you have to do for bugling? What do you remember from that one? And maybe this was years ago.
Yeah, it was actually a couple of months ago. It took me a while to earn that one. But basically, you have to learn how to use the bugle, and you have to be able to play a certain number of songs, like Reveille, that type of thing.
Oh, cool.
Typical ones. But.
Nice. Now, did you buy a bugle, or you just borrowed one?
No, we used my dad's trumpet.
Oh, cool. Right on. And what about this one? I had to look it up, what it was even talking about, but pulps and paper. What did that entail?
You had to try and make your own paper, which was interesting. I got a very soggy piece of pulp afterwards. And a lot of it was just learning about how they made it, what it entails today, that type of thing.
But yeah.
A little bit out there.
Nice. Now, one merit badge that I got that was probably my most unique merit badge was the gardening merit badge. I remember I had a scout leader that decided one summer we would have a garden in his backyard, and we grew all sorts of things. So is that something you did in your backyard?
Yeah, we have 2 planter boxes that we had fun trying to garden. So.
Nice. Man, you've got, I mean, this is almost more valuable than a bachelor's degree, in my opinion. I mean, the diversity of kind of the skills and perspective of the world you get is probably quite intense.
Yeah, you definitely learn a lot about, I mean, you don't learn a huge amount of everything, but you learn a little bit of everything.
Yeah, cool. So, as I mentioned before we started recording, you know, Leading LDS is a resource that I've put together, and with the help of some other leaders, we're basically trying to create a resource where LDS leaders can come and learn more about how to improve their leadership skills and styles. And obviously, being a youth is included in that. There's many leadership responsibilities as a youth, and a lot of youth leaders, you know, young men's presidents, young women's presidents, they will, you know, come to Leading LDS to hopefully find some ideas and inspiration there. So, maybe can you tell us a little about the support you had from some of your youth leaders as you went through this? Any specific experiences that stand out?
Yeah, so with help from youth leaders, especially like getting my Eagle, they were backing me the entire way, just telling me, keep doing it, you're doing great, that type of thing. And when it came to getting all the merit badges, there wasn't a whole lot of doing them because they didn't have the time, and I obviously didn't expect them to spend hours away from their family doing merit badges with me. But with merit badges, you have to get them passed off by a counselor. And with a lot of them, like Mining and Society or American Labor, there's not a counselor for them in our district or council. So instead of going to a counselor, I had to get it passed off by one of our scout leaders instead, which entailed a lot of extra time from them, which was definitely, I was thankful for.
Wow. Yeah, and I was going to ask you that because I remember each merit badge, I had to meet with somebody different in my ward that maybe had some experience of that. So if there wasn't one, then they would just step in and the scout leader would handle it then.
Yeah.
And maybe this next question, maybe I'll ask you first, Greg, as far as your the support from your parents, what was, you know, when the KSL posted this story, I kind of looked through the comments and, you know, some people were joking, like, I think what they really mean is his mom earned 138 merit badges, because that's kind of the ongoing joke with scouts. But I'm sure there's support there. What role did they play as you were going through this task?
My parents helped a lot. My dad was typically the one doing a lot of the outdoor activities with me, like with scuba diving, he got certified with me. Hiking, biking, that type of thing, he was right there next to me. With my mom, she helped a lot more with the organizational type of stuff, helping me decide which ones were ones I could just kind of research, do on the weekends, or the ones that I'd have to spend a lot of time, like with the scuba one, or if we needed extra resources, if there was somebody I needed to go talk to, that type of thing.
Okay. Cool. And Lester, anything to add from your perspective? What was that experience like going through this with Greg?
You know, I think Greg's description is accurate. My wife helped a lot in organizing and planning and making sure we knew what was next. And she would make sure that when we had pockets of time, even things like we'd go on a family trip. And so she would check to see which merit badges were up next on the list and bring the books with us and print off stuff off the internet that Greg could be reading or working on. There's a lot of good worksheets out on the internet that you can do in the car and things like that. And so she was the trooper that made sure this all happened and made sure that we stayed on task. I was the one that got to go out and to do a lot of them. And for me, it was a lot of fun just to go out. We did some biking and some camping, hiking and things like that. And Greg mentioned the scuba diving one earlier, and that was my favorite one as well. I had never been scuba diving before, and actually I never even had even thought about going scuba diving. I always thought of that being something that, oh, you know, nothing I would ever do. But when we saw the merit badge and read through the requirements and realized you actually have to become certified with that, wow, this one's not like some of the others. Some of the others you do some research, fill out the paperwork or the forms for it, and then you go pass them off with one of the young men's leaders, scout leaders. But then we realized you actually have to become certified, which is a little bit expensive, unfortunately. But we're very lucky because we actually have a scuba diving training school right here in Draper. And so we went to them and paid our fees and did the scuba diving, the whole certification, and when did the open dive. So it's a great sense of accomplishment when you're done that the two of us got to go do it together and go do some tough things that we wouldn't have done otherwise. Plus, it's a neat experience to be able to be out with your son and just do some fun things. And so it's really just a part of growing up and being a father-son relationship and just being able to do some of these fun things.
Yeah, for sure. If there's any fathers out there that are scratching their head wondering how to be a better father or spend more quality time, just pick up a merit badge book and get busy, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun stuff. Some of it, Greg probably says there's a little too much boring stuff. It was kind of reading things, writing down a summary or things like that. But the fun outdoors, getting out and doing stuff was a lot of fun for us and a great opportunity for us to grow together as a father and son.
Nice. Now, when you earned all 138 merit badges, obviously I don't think the Boy Scouts of America have an official award for such a feat, but is there any recognition that comes with that other than the media coverage you've gotten?
My parents gave me a plaque on it that said 138 merit badges with my favorite scripture.
Oh, but nice.
Not there wasn't recognition for it.
Nice. So what's your favorite scripture?
I did Isaiah 40:31.
All right on.
Which is, if they that trust in the Lord shall walk and not be weary, run and shall not be faint, and they shall ride as if upon wings of eagles. And
oh, wow. Oh, cool. That's very fitting. So that's cool. Right on. Now, I did see they had a picture of you up on KSL, and so you did, in fact, sew each one of those onto your shirt or whatever they call it.
The sash?
The sash, yeah.
We use something called badge magic. You iron it on, actually. But
nice. See, these are
very helpful.
I remember my mother sewing on each merit badge the night before my Eagle Court of Honor because we just had never gotten around to it. So that's one thing I thought of there. So, well, cool. So what sort of, have you had many leadership opportunities, in scouting, patrol leaders, those types of things?
Yeah, as far as scouting goes, I've been senior patrol leader before. I think it was it for about 2 years. And other than that, just kind of as one of the older kids in the group, you just kind of naturally take a leadership position.
Cool. Yeah, and that's really the premise we try and preach on leading LDS, is that it doesn't require a calling or a title to necessarily be a leader. You know, it really takes an internal decision and a strong example to make a difference in those that surround you. So, so where do you go from here, Greg? Are you, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Right now I'm going to go on a mission. And then after that, I'm thinking about getting a degree in mechanical engineering or, management, that type of thing.
Okay. And was your decision for your career influenced at all through this process as you learn about new industries? Or?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it helped me find out a lot of the things that I would be good at doing. And also a lot of them were things that I found out that I either wasn't good at doing. Helped me narrow it down a lot. But I definitely found some things that I find interesting.
Okay. So what are the things that you've discovered you're not good at? What kind of raised to the surface there?
The pulp and paper one, definitely.
You're going to stay digital, huh?
Yeah. One of the ones that I did find interesting was composite materials. It was about, like, reinforcing structures to try and make them stronger, building new, stronger, lighter materials that you can use for anything, basically. But,
oh, right on. So you're 17, and when do you get to turn in your mission papers?
Right now I'm thinking in about, 8 months, I think, or at least I can turn them in.
Okay.
But I'm thinking I want to go right after high school.
Oh, right on. Any specific place you want to go, foreign or?
I'd like to go out of the country. I think it'd be fun to see different parts of the world and get the new experience from, or like different than Utah.
Sure.
Sure. Not a whole lot of specifics, I guess. Just wherever nice. I'm needed.
So as long as it's not the Provo mission, huh?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, I know you guys are on a tight schedule and need to get to some other activities. You're, Greg's in a point of life where there's all sorts of events and activities happening. And so I sure do appreciate your time here. I just want to ask you maybe one more question, Greg. And Lester, you're free to jump in on this as well. But just looking back on your scouting experience, obviously I'm sure there's many times you spent focused on duty to God as well. But through your youth, as you've had these opportunities to be a scout and earn these merit badges, how has that made you a better disciple of Jesus Christ?
I think a major part of it is, scouting is all about service, which is definitely about what the Savior was about, just helping those that are in need. So through scouting, I mean, I've done stuff for the homeless shelter, food donations, tons of Eagle Scout projects, from building bridges to sanding cars for kids in another country, so... Just kind of learning how to give yourself to others, I think, is a big part of it.
Yeah. I look at it too. The Scout Oath and the Scout Law are true. They're complementary to the teachings of the Savior Jesus Christ. And so when you look at those and you strive to be a good scout and to live those principles in your life, it's also helping you be a good follower of the Savior. And I think as scouts, especially the youth today, strive to live those, they're good examples for the other people around them. It might be people in their own pack, the troop, or it might be individuals at school, but or their neighborhood. But I think scouting is an opportunity for people to get out and do fun things, to serve others, and to learn some of those qualities that the Savior wants us to have. And so I felt like as we've served with Greg and we've done scouting, it's been a great opportunity just because we rub shoulders with so many other good people and have been able to serve with them as well. I was just reminded as well, as Greg's gone through this process, he's got a lot of help as well, especially from like his young men leaders, scout leaders. They end up being essentially the same in many LDS wards. And many times Greg would be wrapping up some of his merit badges, and I might be qualified to help with some of them, which I helped him sign off one or two. But I told them I didn't want to sign off too many because I needed to make sure others were involved in that process. And we had some great young men's leaders who stepped in. And when you didn't find a counselor in the area, they were the ones who became the new counselor and were able to help him in that process. And so it reached out. You had others. You had adults who were serving. Greg was able to do a lot there as well. And as his parents, it helped us learn how to serve him a little bit more, too.
This concludes the interview with Greg Mehmet and Lester Mehmet. Really inspiring to be able to talk with Greg and Lester. It's inspiring because, again, the youth are such valiant people, and I'm optimistic for the future of leadership because that truly is the key, is developing strong leadership. I hope that in this season of Friends of Scouting, that many leaders kind of groan at as they're asked to collect these donations for the Boy Scouts of America. I hope this interview inspires you. Maybe you can think of Greg when you write that check or ask others to write the check to donate to such a valiant cause, an inspired cause that has developed so many boys into men and into leaders. I sure do appreciate you listening to this podcast, and I hope it continues to inspire you and be of benefit in your life. If you haven't yet, I encourage you to visit leadinglds.com. At the top of the page, there will be a link to join the Leading LDS community. We send out a weekly newsletter that summarizes the posts that we've done. We join together and try and make this a better resource than it is. And that's truly all we want it to be, is something that leaders can come to and become better leaders and become more efficient at spreading the message and nurturing those that are there in their respective quorums and wards, and just become better all around. And I feel like we can do that as we form a community and continue to share our experiences. Thanks again for listening.